Uthandwa ngendlela ongasokuze uyiqonde. Khetha iRadio Pulpit 657 AM. Luthando olo.
Let's welcome Muruti Sangweni is with us on the line. Muruti, good evening and welcome back to Radio Pulpit once again.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Mwabi. Good evening to you and the listeners.
We are continuing with this topic of the reasons why Christian marriages struggle and end up failing. So you had some other, subtopics that, you know, you went with for the past few weeks. And apparently tonight is going to be, we'll be wrapping it up and you'll be adding something so that we can be able to look at when it comes to some of the reasons. We'll be adding one of the reasons why Christian marriages struggle and eventually fail. I would like to know, what is it that, Muruti, what is that one thing that you are going to be adding to the others that you talked about that cause Christian marriages to struggle and to fail eventually?
Now, it's an aspect of expecting your spouse to change. Yeah, expecting your spouse to change. That's what I'm going to dwell on today. Let me just get to it right away. That is more than the listeners. You see, this marriage is like kind of a transaction. When I started out, I said it's a two-way traffic thing. And one area where we fail is expecting my spouse to change, meaning, as a man, I would expect my wife to change. And also, maybe she would expect me to change in certain areas of our life, of our marriage. Now, if you look at this closely with spiritual glasses or spectacles, it boils down to one thing, that if I expect my spouse to change, whereas I'm not putting any effort to change, that's actually pride, you know, to say I'm going to have a stance. I won't budge, I won't move. I expect him or I expect her to change. It's just right. You see, the thing is, the only person I can control is me, meaning I'm the one who's responsible for changing. Now, the only actions or the behavior and the attitudes that I'm able to change are my own, you know. Now, in marriages, you find that there is a stalemate, as it were. Things are stuck in one position because the other party says, I'm in the right. I won't budge. I won't move. Now, while they're doing that, the whole thing, the whole relationship is crumbling down, you see? So in a give and take situation, I must do the changing. While I'm in the process of changing, it is going to impact on my spouse. One or the other is going to touch her, and she'll start, changing somehow. So this one, it takes, once again, the whole issue of growth, spiritual growth, and even emotional growth, as it were, because, children, because they are not emotionally mature or developed, fully developed, they throw tantrums. They do all those funny things and so on because they are children, they are kids. Now, when you see two adults, this one person says, I won't move, I won't budge. You know, until he changes, I will never change. Now, if you look at that as an outsider, you realize this thing is not going to work out. It's not going to there won't be any moving forward.
I've heard just such statements of people saying, you need to accept me for who I am. And that means these people are not expecting to change at all. But the question is, do they expect can they accept their spouses the way they are? Others want to change, but others don't want to change, but they're expecting their spouses to change. But how important is change in marriage? Because people who come with that mindset to say, whoever marries me must expect me the way I am. And when you look at the way she is or the way he is, my goodness, the person does not want to wash the dishes. They don't want to do anything that's got to do with family responsibilities. And yet they want their marriages to work. I don't know, Murit, if that makes sense.
It does. I hear you loud and clear. I think that is being very, very irresponsible. You can't, we're talking about marriage, a marriage relationship. Now, we are at a workplace, we're at a school, we are wherever where we are. You can't be dealing with other people, with other human beings, and say people must just accept you as you are. Whereas you realize that you are hurting them. So I don't think it's fair. That is why I keep on saying it takes a certain level of maturity to say, you know what, I'm hurting people. I need to change. You know, that is why that in certain people, they grow old alone, being single. Because what happens if you continue with that mentality? One or the other, this marriage is going to break down. Eventually, there will be separation or even divorce for that matter. And this person is left alone. And years are going by. You end up being lonely just because you've got an attitude to say, accept me as I am. And once you're old, you are an old man, you are grumpy and what have you, just because you've got this philosophy that just accept me as I am. In the first instance, you don't need to get into a relationship if you've got that kind of a stance, you know. You know, we are different personalities, different characters and so on. There will be issues once in a while in a marriage and so on. But people must come back and fix their things. Not to be proud and say, accept me as I am. If a person utters those words, that person must expect that there is a chance that you are going to grow alone. And for men, that is the West. Ladies can grow old alone and still remain sane, sound in mind and so on. But for men, it's a big negative. Because men cannot make it in life. They struggle if they are alone. That is why a man was not made to live in his own space alone. This woman is needed. Even if it's your kids, for that matter, when you're grown, you're advancing years, and old man, you need somebody in your space. So I think this impacts even more so with men, because really, we see what is happening in life and society. It's always a good thing that a man, there must be somebody in that person's life. And this stance, most of the time, it's men that would say, you know, you found me like this, therefore you need to change. Now, this poor lady has to bear with that. Now, you realize this is, this is just out of order. It's abuse, emotional abuse, and so on. Now, this lady would just stay in this situation, in this relationship, for the sake of the kids and maybe support and what have you. But to answer you, it is totally out of order. And as Christians, mind you, the Spirit of the Lord that resides in us must show us to say, you know what, this is out of order. You need to correct this. You need to humble yourself. You need to ask for forgiveness. Things happen, but people must come to their senses and fix things and move on with life. Because if you love a person, that love will always be there. That spark will always say, you know, I care for this person. I've had the person. Let me just humble myself. And we fix things, and then I think our parents and grandparents, that is how they stayed in marriages for so long. Hence the subject I'm dealing with, longevity in marriage. Because they could sit down and sort their things out, and then life would go on. But these days we're so impatient, especially if a person is self-supportive, you've got a job that you keep, ladies, you can support yourself and so on. people, they don't care. Yeah, you can go your own way, I'll go my own way. And at the end of the day, ask yourself, was there really true love between these two people?
Yes, Kahuta Muruti. Now, let's go to the next one, please.
Yeah, you know, I touched on pride. You know, this thing, it ends up being just pride and manipulation and emotional blackmail, which makes us to expect the other party to change. But you avoid putting any effort to make these changes. And sometimes a person would feel like, I've already worked hard, and I'm tired of waiting for the spouse. You know, therefore the spouse must change himself or herself. And really, if we have this kind of a mindset, our marriages will continue to struggle. But in any case, there is hope. There is always hope. You know, just because we've had struggles in our marriages does not make us bad people. It only means that we are human. Doesn't mean that we don't have enough faith or are we Christians. It simply means we are human and we need to do something. We need to stand up and fix our marriages. Now, because this is the very last point on these reasons why marriages struggle and eventually fail, I think the first point, if you recognize that your marriage is struggling, I think you have won half of the battle, you know. You just need to come to terms with the fact that I'm failing in my marriage. Then you have won half of the battle. Once you can accept that you need some help, you are well on your way to making changes and improving your marriage. You need to seek counseling, which can be spiritual or pastoral, but also a professional help. You need to pray more about your marriage, and as God's children, saved with the Holy Spirit within us, He will guide us and enlighten us what we need to do as we go forward with our lives and our marriages.
That's Pastor Sangweni right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, looking at some of the things that make Christian marriages to struggle and eventually fail. Yes, Muruti, continue to the next point, please.
I'm actually done. I've just wrapped up that at the end of the day, we can't be sitting and say, no, things are falling apart, things are not working. Go out and seek for help.
Now, let's bring back the element here, the fear of Elohim in our lives, in a sense that some of the things, I believe, if we had fear, you mentioned something now in passing that some women are independent to the extent that they will say, I can, you know, live without you, and which is a fact, which is the truth. They don't need you. They have their own money and what have you. You mentioned the other element of pride. How can we become humble enough to say, even though I have my own money and I can be independent, but I want to at least give it my best to make sure that my relationship works. The same applies to men. Obviously, men are, I would say, natural providers. Expect them to be providers. But to some extent, they also feel like, you know what, I contribute a lot in this marriage. And therefore, I can just go. I can go out and I can get any woman I want, and I can leave this one. But what does it take for us to look and do things differently from that? To say, okay, I might be independent. I might be having my own money. I might feel like I don't need this man at all or this woman at all, but I want to make this one work. What can cause people to really be committed to each other, no matter them being able to succeed without their current spouses?
I think first and foremost, the foundation should be a true love, a genuine love, in the sense that when you love a person, when you marry a person, you don't marry the person's material stuff or money and so on. You just love the person. Now, if it is based on that, when you come to challenges, this love thing, I think, will sustain people. Unfortunately, we live in a culture, in a society where, you know, all the love, there are certain conditions to say, well, that person looks like he's doing well, she's doing well, she's a professional person, she's got a good work and so on, a good job and so on. Then maybe, now if it is based on those, already there is a chance that this thing is not going to work out. While there are problems, it is going to be very, very easy for the person to say, you know what, I want out of this thing. So the foundation should be proper first and foremost. I think as a church, we need to go back to what our fathers, our pastors, back in the day used to do, to say to young people, you need to pray. Before you start talking about this marriage thing, ask the Lord to guide you in these issues, because you are going to take decisions, you know, out of your own self, you know, you depend on your, these days, we are so, what is the word, we trust ourselves so much, we've got so much confidence that we take very big steps, very big decisions without even asking the Lord. So number one, we need to pray, and there must be genuine love. I believe in that demand. As a person that is married 30 years now, true love sustains this relation. There will be challenges. But this true love and the fact that God backed you up when you took this decision, I'm sure that you can live even longer. Now, the whole issue of pride, we are a beings of pride, you know, basically, as human beings. But if the scripture of the Lord takes over, and word of the Lord will dwell in it, one or the other, the Lord is with us to say, you are prideful, you know, you need to humble yourself. It's not about the fact that you are self-supportive, you've got a job, you can look after yourself. At the end of the day, it's about heart-to-heart relationship with the person. So to answer you, we need to go back to our roots in a spiritual sense to say, there is a lot of damage. There is a lot that has been eroded spiritually so in our lives. We live in a very materialistic world, a world like I've mentioned in the past, to say everything revolves around money, around material stuff, and so on and so on. There's no genuineness. So therefore, the church must go back to those things so that our young people are upcoming. They need to know what works. Because the fact that this lady has got a good job, maybe she brings a bigger salary to the family. I know people, I'm a pastor, I know ladies that are doing so well at the workplace, in their job, but the man doesn't bring that much. But you won't believe the peace and the submission of the lady and everything, because this lady loves this man just as a person, not because the man better off financially and otherwise.
Are you talking about the real life story there, Muruti?
Come again.
Are you talking about the real life story there?
Of course. In my church.
Okay.
In my church, you see, unfortunately, people listen to these things. You know, I don't want to give away, because if they listen to this, you know, but generally speaking, real life stories, you'll find that this woman is doing so well that the woman... Let me just give you this scenario, this picture. You are in the Northwest, which is most of it is rural. If you go further, you move into Botswana. Now, people who come from the rural areas, for some reason, when they come to the city, even if they're educated, they've got good jobs, they've got certain values. I've got people who come from Limpopo in the North, well-educated, others across the border, Zimbabwe. The lady is doing so well, educated and so on, but because of the societal values where she comes from, you won't believe the way they respect, the way they treat their men, their husbands. In this real life, they live here in Johannesburg, in Gauteng, because that's what this thing, they go home, they're linked, you know, with their rural areas. This thing, these values, the value system that they brought into the city, they don't live it. So as far as I'm concerned, we need to kind of instill this thing into our children, especially those who are born and brought up in the city. But those that come from the rural areas, I've seen there is a pattern. That is why some men, for some reason, some men, a young man can work in the city, he comes from the rural. When the person wants to get married, he can go back to the rural to get a wife.
That's true, yeah. Maruti. True,
yeah,
that.
I think you've seen that. There is a pattern. Because the city girl,
I personally did that.
Yes.
I married a rural woman, a rural lady, my home girl. Yeah, Muruti. unfortunately, our time is up, Mfundi Swam. Thanks once again for being with us. I know that you've got few days left before the great day that many of us have been waiting for. Please give us more details about that before you leave this evening.
Okay. Yeah, Ndade Mwabi and the listeners, on the 8th of June, from 10 a.m. up to around 3, we'll be having a married couples seminar. I think it will be a great day at our church, which is AFN Bergersdal, in Bergersdal in Western Area. Now, we've sent out a poster. The details are there. People can please just join us. I think the Lord will help us a great deal in as far as building a good, long-lasting marriages.
All right, Muruti, please give them your contact details.
My contact details is 082-619-5193. That is for calls and WhatsApp, 082-619-5193. For Facebook, it's just a Manfred Angwene. May the Lord bless you all.
Thank you very much, Fundi Swam.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/radiopulpit.